Please stand for the reading of the word. From Mark chapter 4, 5 and 6 and 16 and 17, other seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it scorched the plants and they dried up because they had no roots. Here's the meaning of the seed that fell on rocky ground. When people hear the word, they immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last for only a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away. The word of God. You may be seated. How are our roots here at La Sierra? We're in a sermon series on the four soils, and if you missed the previous ones, you can go and look back, because you don't want to miss those. Pastor Icky shared with us an introduction, the importance of hearing, Jesus' words to hear and to listen and to do something with what he's talking about. And I loved in that intro sermon, Pastor Icky said that these soils are not about your salvation. They are not whether or not you have the ticket to the kingdom to come. They're about how the kingdom is coming in our world today. How Jesus is enfleshed in the community that are listening and hearing and responding to his words. The second week, the last week, he talked about the first soil, which was that beaten down path. Before the seeds could even get into the ground, the birds came and took them away. And we talked about those paths that become a rut for us and how we can get out of those ways of thinking as a community, as individuals, and say no to something that we've been habitually doing and saying yes to a risk or new opportunity. So today, our seeds land in a different kind of soil. It's rocky. It's shallow. There's not much soil there. The seeds sprout up quickly, but when the sun comes, they're toast. Jesus explains to his disciples that these are people who are excited and ready to go for the kingdom, but when the hard times come, they fall away. Why? Jesus says, because they have no roots. Again, Mark 4, verse 5, seed fell on the rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it scorched the plants and they dried up because they had no roots. Again, in Jesus' explanation, here's the meaning of the seed. When the people hear the word, they immediately receive it joyfully, but because they have no roots, they last only a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away because they have no roots. Shallow soil means quick growth and quick death. Have you ever gotten all excited about something, obsessed about it, and then dropped it when it got a little too hard? How about someone? Isn't this the definition of infatuation? The Oxford Dictionary says infatuation is an intense but short-lived passion or admiration for someone or something. The word comes from Latin and it literally means to make foolish. It makes you foolish, this infatuation thing. Sometimes we call it a crush. The word crush comes from the late 1880s, and it developed from this literal sense of something crushing you or weighing you down, and the feelings are so intense that they're crushing you. I love how this 7-year-old described crushes in the New York Times. Quote, she said, "A crush means you are in love with someone, but the other people doesn't know. If you walk past them, all your blood goes up to your head and it feels so startling." Isn't that a great way to explain that excitement that you have when you have a crush on someone? I remember when I was in high school, I had a crush on a guy that lived within walking distance to where I lived. I'm being somewhat vague, because these people know who they are. I had a crush on someone who lived in our neighborhood, and I would walk the dog, and I would walk multiple times next to this person's house. Now, all you who are growing up here in Southern California, you can't really get away with that. Get your dog in the car, drive over. No, we were all in the same neighborhood. So got the dog walking back and forth. Would they come out of their house? I was a stalker. You do strange things when you're infatuated, don't you? When you have a crush, you get all excited about it, and you're sure that this is the one, and this is the one thing that's going to change your life, but then it isn't, and it doesn't, and they don't, right? Brain researchers have found that romantic love lights up the reward circuits of our brain. Romantic love, being love struck, they said, releases dopamine, which causes, get this, the same euphoria as the use of cocaine or alcohol. So in 2012, the University of California, San Francisco, published a study on fruit flies. Male fruit flies who were rejected, they did not find a mate, drank 4 times as much alcohol as fruit flies that found mates. Why? They were going after the dopamine. They weren't getting it where they were designed to get it from, so they were going after alcohol to get that same rush, that same high. I recently read Ann Lemke's book, Dopamine Nation, which I highly recommend. It will challenge your thinking. It will surprise you, and it will make you think about what is happening in your brain. She's a psychiatrist, and she explains how we're surrounded by so many ways to get those dopamine hits to our brain through our smartphones. I mean, what do you do when you can't find that phone? You're not sure where it is. Like, everything starts breaking down, right? You have to find the phone before anything else can happen. Smartphones, food, shopping, drugs, etc. We are so prone to chase after that high, that dopamine hit in our brain, that we actually, she says, end up in pain. So much pleasure seeking that we actually hurt. We end up hurting ourselves, and we have to keep a check on that dopamine, she says, in order to really experience transformation. Going through the hard things, going through the painful things, not immediately going to the smartphone when you're bored or you have nothing else to do. Sitting with the pain, sitting with the hard things, guess what? Is better for you in the long term. So, what do we do? Jesus said these people immediately received the word with joy. They had a dopamine hit. They were at the spiritual revival meeting, and it was amazing. And then what happens? When things got hard, they went for the next dopamine hit, something different. And this is where, friends, we as a community have done people a disservice. Because we teach people that life with Jesus in community is better, which is true. But we forget to say that it's also harder, which is true. We forget to tell them about the excessive heat warnings. Don't you love living here in Southern California? I see our new president and his lovely wife right here. Did anybody tell you about the fires before you accepted the position? That you'd have to be inside for large amounts of the summer? Did anybody tell you? On Monday night, Pastor Devo texted us, and I shared this with permission from Amelie. She said, we live in hell. How so? 100-plus degree weather, fires, smoke, earthquakes, right? According to the American Red Cross, extreme heat kills more people than any other weather event. On Wednesday morning at staff meeting, when we were sitting around and decided to postpone our food and film night, which, by the way, you would have needed a sweater, but I didn't know you would have needed a gas mask too, so we decided to wait on that, plan on it. But we were sitting there and looking at this map right here. And as of last night, this map is as of last night, the line fire, 25% contained, the airport fire, 9% contained, the bridge fire, 3% contained. These summer months, I've learned to think of it this way. I came from Berrien Springs, Michigan, as our president did. You just have to think of mid-June to mid-September as the blizzard season. It's not snow, but you have to kind of stay inside or watch it, because this is the hard time. This was from Loma Linda, a Facebook post. You could see the hospital with the flames behind us. We ought to warn people coming here to Southern California. We ought to warn people coming here to the La Sierra University Church that life with Jesus will not always be a dopamine rush. It's better, but it doesn't mean it's easier. It can get really hard. And for the hard times, you need roots. So what are these roots that can get you through the hard times and help you endure the sun here at the La Sierra University Church? What are those roots? Well, Jesus doesn't explain what the roots are. He also doesn't explain what the lack of soil is. He doesn't say. He just says they don't have roots, so they fall away. But what is it that keeps us nourished and helps us stay put when things get hard? How can we be a community that holds together when things get hard? I love the words of Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. This was a prayer that Paul is praying for the people there in Ephesus, and he prays this in Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. What's the soil? What do we need to be rooted in so that we can make it through when the sun shines too much? Rooted and grounded in love. Are you rooted and grounded in God's love for you this morning? Are you sure of it? Are you being regularly reminded of love? When you're being regularly reminded of God's great love for you, you may not see the impact right away. But some work is happening in your heart, in your soil, when you're reminded that we are rooted and grounded in God's love. In her book, Deep Calling on Being and Growing Disciples, Pastor Tara Vincross writes about visiting China with her dad, who had stage 4 cancer. In one garden where they stopped there in China, they saw an outgrowth of towering bamboo. And their guide shared with them that for this variety of bamboo, you plant it and nothing happens for 1 year. And then the second year, nothing happens. The third year, nothing happens. The fourth year, nothing happens. And then in the fifth year, the plant shoots up 40 feet. You can sit there and watch it growing. Because when it looked like nothing was happening, there was something happening underneath the soil. That plant was developing an extensive root system so it could shoot up. Pastor Tara writes, you cannot sit alone in the presence of God with the Word, inviting the Holy Spirit, and have nothing happen. You may not be aware of something happening, but it is happening. When you're sitting there and you think nothing is happening, roots are deepening to sustain the growth that is coming in your life. Will you sit still long enough to soak in how much God loves you? Whether it's through reading scripture, meditating, listening to Christian music, walking in nature, because infatuation will not get you through. But love, that's grown deep roots in the peaceful times will hold us through the hard ones. And that's why we say marriage vows, is it not? If you always felt like loving the person you married, there'd be no reason to stand up on this stage. We say marriage vows because we know that things will get difficult, and we won't always feel like acting in love with that person. We make marriage vows for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, because worse times come, financial troubles come, sickness comes. On June 18 of this year, Calvin Onakaya, one of our dearly beloved members, passed away of cancer, only 52 years old. He was a man of great faith and courage. In 2016, he faced a brain tumor. At the end of 2021, he experienced a devastating spinal cord injury. He would come here in the wheelchair and sit with us here at the service or be watching online. I know the Onakaya family is watching right now. Through it all, Eden was by his side. They were together for 31 years. And Eden, when I think of the love between you and Calvin, I think of deep roots. Following Jesus doesn't mean we won't face the heat. We need roots that go deep, nourished by the love of God. And we need roots that go deep in the love of our community as well. Because attending the most exciting worship service in town, quickly jumping from one to the next, it won't give you deep roots. Church hopping doesn't let you sit still long enough to grow those deep roots. We need to be rooted and grounded in love, not just the love God has for us, but the love of the people around us. And if we're going to love and be loved, we have to sit still long enough to get to know people and to see what's underneath the surface. As I was doing research for the book that I wrote on intergenerational relationships, I was reminded that young people stay rooted in the church when they know someone, or rather a whole group of someones that know them. Resilient disciples, 77% in the book Faith for Exiles, 77% of those resilient disciples had a friend in the church. And as you go down of people less and less connected to the church later, this percentage goes down and down and down. In the book Sticky Faith from the Fuller Youth Institute, they found that young people tended to stay in the church when they were surrounded by a team of five adults who knew them and were investing in them experiencing God's love and building those deep roots. So how can you sit still long enough to grow those deep roots? Well, it may look like staying after church and talking with the people around you. It may look like joining a Sabbath school class or talking with the people around you before or after the class or during the class if it's a smaller one. You could do that by joining a life group. We mentioned today that we have a new one starting for women on Monday nights in the ministry center. But you don't have to be a talker to develop deep roots. It doesn't have to be through what you say. You can be serving at the food pantry plus. You could be teaching Sabbath school next to people, and guess what? The more time you spend with those people serving together, the more you grow those common roots of love and connection. If you haven't done it yet, many of you have. If you have not done it, please take 2 minutes to fill out your volunteer profile. There's so many different ways to get involved. Even if you are involved, you might see something there that you would like to switch over to. There's a lot of ways to get connected here, and service is a huge way of doing that. If you go to lasierra.church/volunteer, you click on the front of the website on that graphic. So as I was thinking about this reality, I want to share a few people's pictures. Now, whenever you do this, you run the risk, because if I was going to share all the people's pictures up here that I would want to, guess what? We'd be here for several more hours. And I would tell you story after story. So the people that I'm sharing here are just a small representative of people that have built their roots, allowed their roots to grow deep in love and community here. A few people that come to mind, Heather Miller and Don. Heather was here in youth ministry when I came here 20 years ago as a student here at La Sierra. And her daughter, Kimberly, was one of the youth. And now Kimberly is teaching Sabbath school, and Savannah was one of the first people to befriend Eleanor when she came to church here when my daughter was four and Savannah was four and Eleanor was one. Darren and Liz. They stepped up to lead Food Pantry Plus at the same time two sons being sick with cancer and losing them and continuing to build deep roots here, sharing love and receiving love. I think of the McFarland clan, mostly up here. Invested for decades here, involved in so many different ways through the thick and the thin of challenges, being here, rooted and grounded in love. I think of the Mallet and the Cantos clan, with Chris being the lead of Cafe for, I don't know, something like 15 years or so, and the whole family involved in so many things. Ken helping us with potluck that's happening in 2 weeks. We're going to have a haystack potluck in 2 weeks, and I hope you will sign up. This isn't just a commercial break. Haystack potluck, 2 weeks. We're going to have 250 athletes from our university across the street right here in church. Amen. And guess what your pastors did? This was not Pastor Ben and Pastor Elizabeth. This was my first reaction when I heard 250 students plus our regular potluck people. My first reaction was, we can't feed all those people. And then I said, Pastor Ben, Pastor Elizabeth shared, you know what? They have so many memories of being fed by students. And I was, we have to feed all those people. So church, we have to feed all those people. So whether it's a bag of chips or some lettuce or whatever it is, come and be a part of that. You can sign up online for helping and bringing food. I think of the Cantos and the Mallet family. I could keep going and going. I think of Pastor Devo and Leilani, who they were here when I was here, and then I left for 20 years and came back, and they're still here. Thank you, Kritzinger family. I think of Annie Henry, who's always here doing something, leading the Blanket Club this afternoon, another commercial break. You don't have to be female to be part of the Blanket Club. You can be a male, and we have all the materials that you need if you want to come at 2 o'clock and sit and talk and prepare things for the community. I think of Marnie and Kevin Strain and their boys. Kevin, thank you for playing today. You could play anywhere. You could be on the road playing at whatever church nearby, but yet you choose to be here, not only on Sabbath morning, but playing for the 3 to 9-year-olds at Adventure Club. Thank you. I think of Beth McCullough, who stuck with us through thick and thin, leading a Sabbath school, looking out for people, always here, even when we make decisions that concern her a little bit. Amen. I think of Adriana. So you don't have to have been here for decades and decades to be building deep roots. I think of Adriana, who jumped in 100% and is now helping with Sabbath school and being part of Cafe and helping lead our potluck in 2 weeks. And I think of Danny, who I don't see Adriana at an event without Danny helping doing something. Thank you, Danny. These are just a few examples of so many of you who have sat still long enough to let your roots grow in this community. Along with the bamboo, to use another root illustration, We're not called to be oak trees with independent roots. The church, we're called to be aspens. According to the National Forest Foundation, aspens are the most widespread tree in North America. But did you know this? One aspen tree is not an independent tree. It's only a small part of a much larger organism that's connected to all the other trees by the same root system. So even if all the trees in an aspen stand burn, the roots remain and they grow more trees. They are connected at the roots, and the strength of these aspens come from their shared roots. If we want to make it through the fires, we have to have shared roots, and we have to nourish these. We have to remember to think of what's beneath. I'm going to close today with a children's book, Beneath by Corey Dorfeld. Finn was in a horrible mood. Grandpa wanted to talk about it. Finn did not. No, you won't understand. What if we just go for a walk, Grandpa asked, please? Finn let out a long sigh. Fine, but I'm staying under here. Don't worry, said Grandpa. I'll remember to think of what's beneath. Grandpa headed for the forest. It's just like when I look at the trees and remember there are parts I can't see. Because beneath what's growing up above is what's growing deep below. Or there, Grandpa pointed, see the boat just sitting out on the water? Finn shrugged. Sometimes beneath what looks perfectly still, so much can be swirling around. Trying to guess what's beneath can be easy, Grandpa whispered. I think she's going to be a mom. Other times, what's beneath is a mystery. I'm not sure what it's digging for. Beneath something solid can be something hollow. Beneath what's falling apart can be what's just starting to form. Beneath what's happening on the outside is what's happening on the inside of plants and animals and people. Finn wanted to know. Of course, Grandpa answered, everyone is more than what you see. Beneath appearances are experiences. Beneath actions are explanations. Beneath what's different is what's the same. And sometimes, Grandpa paused, beneath someone who looks like they won't understand is someone who knows exactly how you feel. Grandpa turned toward home. Finn wanted to keep walking. Please? Together they climbed to the top of the hill. Wow, said Grandpa. Just look at all those stars. Finn looked up at the sky and smiled. Don't worry. I'll remember to think of what's beneath. And on the last page, you see the back of the quilt, which says, To Finn, love Grandma. May we sit still long enough with God to be rooted and grounded in love. And may we sit still long enough with each other to be able to see what's beneath. Amen.